Hello, my name is Tim Buss, and welcome to this AAT podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about VAT, how it works, what it is, the basic principles, and some of the detail. So what is VAT? Well, it's a system of indirect taxation. It originated in Germany before the First World War and was adopted by the six original member states of what was then known as the Common Market, not is now known as the European Union. It's a tax on consumer expenditure. VAT was introduced into the UK in 1973 because that was when the UK joined the Common Market, as I say now, the European Union. There have been various VAT acts over the years. The introduction of VAT was by the Finance Act of 1972. That was amended by the VAT Act of 1983. And we now have the VAT Act of 1994. The framework of the VAT workings is in the VAT legislation. The detail is in what are known as statutory instruments, orders, Treasury regulations, and HMRC regulations. HMRC being HM Revenue and Customs, who are the authorities who deal with VAT in the UK. HMRC issue notices and leaflets on all aspects of VAT, and at the current counting, there's about 130. This gives HMRC's interpretation of the law. With a few exceptions, it is not the law itself. There are then information sheets, VAT notes, and business briefs, which are all available on the HMRC website. VAT is changed each year according to the budget, but the major changes of VAT are by court and tribunal cases and where decisions are implemented by HMRC within the UK. The general principles of VAT. VAT is a tax on transactions, not on profits. In some ways, this makes it more important than direct tax, because if you don't charge enough VAT, or don't charge VAT when you're supposed to charge VAT, or don't claim enough VAT on costs, then it could wipe out the profit on a particular transaction. VAT is collected in stages and paid by the final consumer. As an example of how VAT works, imagine a tree growing in the forest. The tree is cut down and the wood is sold to the sawmill. The forestry company charges the sawmill VAT, and that is the sawmill's output tax. The sawmill recovers the VAT charge, that is the sawmill's input tax, then saws the wood into planks and sells the planks to the manufacturer. The sawmill charging output tax, the manufacturer claiming input tax, and so on through the stages until the tree becomes a piece of furniture. You or I go into the shop, buy the piece of furniture, we pay VAT, and as private individuals, we cannot reclaim the VAT that we've been charged by the shop. Therefore, the VAT sticks there. That is what I mean by paid by the final consumer. The final consumer in VAT terms is 9 times out of 10 the man or woman in the street. But in VAT terms, the final consumer can be one of two other people. It can be a business which is exempt from VAT. If a business makes exempt transactions, such as insurance, finance, then the business itself cannot recover VAT on costs, and therefore when it buys goods and services, the business is a final consumer. Also, the UK has a high registration threshold, currently 73,000 a year. Under that threshold, a business does not have to register for VAT, and therefore it wouldn't charge VAT on its goods and services provided. However, if a business is not registered for VAT, it cannot recover VAT on goods and services purchased. So the tax sticks with the final consumer, collected in stages throughout the chain of supply of goods or services. Looking at the scope of VAT, for VAT to be charged, there are 4 indicators which must be in place. If any one of the indicators is missing, then VAT is not in point, or at least UK VAT is not in point. There must be a supply of goods or a supply of services. Supply of goods is simply transfer of ownership. If goods are transferred from one person to another and ownership changes hands, that is a supply of goods. A supply of services is very wide. The definition is very wide. Supply of services is anything at all, which is not a supply of goods, which is done for a consideration. So therefore, if goods are lent or hired, the transfer of ownership of the goods does not change, and therefore that is a supply of services rather than goods, if a charge is made for the hire. If goods are hired free of charge and there is no consideration, there is no supply for VAT purposes. So the first indicator of a VAT charge is there must be a supply. Secondly, that supply must take place in the UK. For a supply of goods to take place in the UK, the goods have to be in the UK when they're transacted. If a stock of goods is held in the UK and from that stock they are sold, then VAT is in point. On the other hand, if a supplier has a stock of goods in France and sells them from a stock of goods in France, then French TVA may be in point, but there is no UK VAT. A supply of services is very difficult to give an indicator in a podcast such as this. There is another podcast on place of supply of services which covers the subject in more detail. But basically, a supply of services is made where the customer belongs, which is a very strange concept. It's not where the supplier belongs, it's where the customer belongs, subject to a few exceptions. But the place of supply of goods or the place of supply of services has to be in the UK. Thirdly, the supply has to be made by a taxable person. A taxable person is anyone who is registered for VAT or anyone who is required to be registered for VAT. So anyone who is registered, i.e. trading over 73,000, or applies for voluntary registration, is a taxable person. Anyone who trades over the 73,000 limit but is not registered for VAT is still a taxable person, which is why if HMRC catch up with them, they can go back to the year dot, or at least 1973, if necessary, to make that person pay VAT which they haven't charged to customers. So registration is an important concept, and registration is the subject of another podcast. Lastly, the supply has to be in the course or furtherance of a business. We do not get too much of a dispute in the UK about whether or not a supply is in the course of business. This is mainly due to the UK's high registration threshold. If someone is selling goods or services at more than 73,000 a year, it is likely to be a business rather than just a hobby. Now we're going to talk about output tax. Output tax is the VAT charged on a supply of goods or services, is chargeable by the supplier and payable to HMRC. It includes all business transactions, business gifts, and goods applied to private use. Output tax is charged at the standard rate of 20% unless the goods or services are relieved of VAT by either lower rating, zero rating, or being exempt from VAT. Output tax is normally charged on a VAT invoice, but there are certain categories of businesses which cannot and do not issue VAT invoices, and they all have special schemes to enable them to account for output tax. Retailers, for instance, shops cannot invoice every single time they make a transaction, so they are allowed various special schemes to calculate the output tax due to HMRC. Another scheme is for people selling second-hand goods. For second-hand goods, it's not just the invoicing, but the value on which VAT is charged, which is in point. A person selling second-hand goods does not have to charge VAT on the full value, but can charge VAT on the margin. That is the difference between the purchase price and the selling price. There are also schemes to enable small businesses to account for VAT, such as the flat rate scheme, which is the subject of another podcast, and cash accounting. Under cash accounting, the business charges output VAT on invoices, but does not pay that output tax to HMRC until the invoice has been paid by the customer. As I briefly mentioned, there is more than one VAT rate. The standard rate of 20% applies to most goods and services. There is no list anywhere of standard rated goods or services. If you are concerned about the liability of a transaction, it is necessary to determine whether or not the lower, zero, or exempt apply. VAT reliefs are given by zero rating. Zero rating is a rate of tax, it just happens to be 0%. The important point is that although VAT is not charged on a transaction, there is no output tax, VAT can be recovered on the costs of goods and services which relate to that particular transaction. Zero rating includes such things as food, children's clothes, new dwellings, and publications. There is a lower rate of VAT, which is 5%. The lower rate is not widely used in the UK. Primarily, it is used for utilities, domestic gas and electricity, and what are known as residential conversions. Residential conversions are covered in the construction podcast, which is available on the website. Then there is exemption. There are certain goods and services which are exempt, mainly under European law. Exemption applies to such things as education, if it's provided by a school or university or profit-making body. Land and property. Property rents are exempt from VAT, finance and insurance. There are several other exemptions which are not widely used. Exemption is not a rate of VAT. Although no VAT is charged on the transaction, no VAT can be recovered on costs of goods and services. Therefore, the exempt business is, as I said before, a final consumer in VAT terms. There is also a category known as outside the scope, where VAT is not charged because the invoice is outside the scope of VAT or outside the scope of UK VAT. Outside the scope applies when, say, goods are transacted from a stock in France, an earlier example which I gave. The transaction may be under French TVA, but it's outside the scope of UK VAT. Another area where outside the scope comes into play is the supply of services. I said briefly the supply of services is made where the customer belongs. So if the customer belongs in the UK, then the supply is within the scope of UK VAT. However, if the customer belongs outside the UK, whether it be in another EU member state or outside the EU, then the supply is outside the scope of UK VAT. The next key point is input tax. Input tax is the collective name for goods and services purchased by a business. VAT has been charged by the supplier, and the question of input tax arises as to whether or not the business can reclaim the VAT charged. If it can, then that is the business's input tax. In order to reclaim input tax, the cost giving rise to the VAT charge has to be used for the purpose of the business claiming the VAT. However, not all input tax is recoverable. Certainly, as I said, input tax has to be on costs for the purpose of the business. If the costs are to be used privately, then input tax cannot be recovered. Also, there are categories of input tax which are not recoverable by law. These include the purchase of a car, unless the car is to be used solely for business purposes, business entertaining, and where the second-hand goods scheme is going to be used. There are other categories of blocked input tax or irrecoverable input tax, but these are very specialised. Input tax can be reclaimed when invoices are received. The invoices do not have to have been paid unless the business itself is under the cash accounting scheme. Normally, though, the business can reclaim VAT when the invoice is received. However, if the invoice has not been paid within 6 months from the date the invoice should have been paid, then the business has to write back the input tax and repay the input tax to HMRC. It can, of course, write the input tax back in should it pay the invoice at a subsequent time. Control of VAT is given to HMRC and they exercise control by having a system of VAT registration. A business with a turnover of more than £73,000 a year has by law to register for VAT. That is, unless the turnover is either exempt or outside the scope. A business trading at less than £73,000 can register for VAT voluntarily. There are particular rules which determine when a business has to register for VAT. There are two distinct rules. One is known as the countback rule and one is known as the look forward rule. Under the countback rule, which applies to the majority of businesses, the business has to consider its turnover at the end of every calendar month. If at the end of a particular calendar month, the turnover is more than £73,000, then the business has to notify its obligation to register for VAT. The business has a month in which to do this, and so registration date is effective from the first of the following month. For instance, if a business reaches the turnover threshold on the 31st of March, it has April in which to notify HMRC, and its effective date of registration would be the 1st of May. It is important to follow these rules, as if the registration date is missed, then there can be a clawback of VAT to HMRC. In other words, HMRC can take VAT from the business which they have not charged to customers. The countback rule is over a 12-month rolling period, so once the business has been going 12 months, if it is still not registered, it adds on month 13 but drops month 1, and from then on in, it's always looking at a period of 12 months. The look-forward rule is slightly different in that the rule states that if the turnover threshold is going to be breached in one go, i.e. through a large contract or more than £73,000 in a calendar month, then the business must register in advance of that particular month or of that particular transaction and calculate VAT on that transaction. So you can't just wait until the end of the month to register. If you're under the look-forward rule, then you must register in advance. Once registered, the accounting document between the business and HMRC is the VAT return. A business is obliged to keep a VAT account, and that account has to be transferred to a VAT return at periodic intervals. Normally, the intervals are 3 months, and a business can choose any particular period of 3 months. For instance, it could have calendar quarters, January, February, March, or it may decide to have February, March, April, and 3 months thereafter, or March, April, May, and 3 monthly thereafter. A business is perfectly free to choose its own VAT accounting periods. Normally, VAT periods are 3 months, but businesses can have monthly VAT returns. Monthly VAT returns are normally adopted by businesses which are in repayment situations. In other words, they may be making zero-rated supplies and have a constant repayment from HMRC. Monthly returns are an advantage because it improves the business's cash flow. Normally, a payment business cannot have monthly VAT returns unless it is a large payer, when HMRC has the power to put large payers onto monthly VAT returns to improve their, i.e. HMRC's, cash flow. The VAT return has to be submitted and paid to HMRC within 1 month from the date of the end of the VAT period. A VAT return period of January, February, March has to be submitted to HMRC by the 30th of April. However, since last year, businesses with a turnover of more than 100,000 have to submit VAT returns online. The VAT return still has to be submitted online by the due date, but there is a 7-day period of grace for actually paying the VAT, and there's a 10-day period of grace if the VAT liability is paid by direct debit. Certain businesses can have annual accounting. Annual accounting is available to businesses of less than 1.3 million turnover. With annual accounting, there is one annual VAT return, but there are 9 periodic payments of VAT with a balance paid at the end of the year. If the VAT return is not submitted, HMRC can assess for VAT due and can make assessments based on information to hand and best judgment. There is a system of surcharges for late returns, and these rise from 2% to 15% depending on how often the business has been late submitting its VAT returns. This podcast has hopefully given you a flavour of VAT and how it works. It is important to consider the basic principles of VAT and go online to the HMRC website to obtain further information on the particular topic you're interested in. As I said, there are numerous VAT notices on every topic. There are business briefs and updates issued by HMRC and the accounting profession. There are also VAT CPD events run by the AAT, which, as well as general VAT updates, are centred around particular topics such as international VAT partial exemption. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you've got something useful out of it.